Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains, and today we're talking about the two big ride-sharing companies, and we're going to see if it's maybe time to buy some Uber stock after their Q4 earnings report came out late last week, and then we're going to see what to expect from its rival Lyft, who reports their quarterly earnings results on Tuesday. But before we do that, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And also make sure to check out our new zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. Okay, so we're going to jump right in with Uber, who reported its Q4 fiscal 2019 financial results after the closing bell on Thursday, February 6th, and the stock has soared since then. But in order to figure out kind of what's going to be next for Uber, we have to take a little bit of a broader view. So we're not going to jump right into the report, but we're not going to do too much background either. So just for a frame of reference to give people a sense of how much money they're making and they're still losing money, Uber was founded all the way back in 2009 at this point as a taxi-like service for the smartphone age. That's kind of how you can think of it. And at this point, most people know that Uber, in general, their basic business model is it allows people to drive their own cars and pick up riders who connect with the drivers via their app. That's the basic business model. Uber has then expanded rapidly since then to South America, Asia, Europe, and obviously they're pretty huge in the United States and North America in general. They then went public to a lot of hype in May 2019, so May of last year, but the stock, relatively, especially in the first few months, failed to impress Wall Street as the company's growth at all costs attitude kind of scared people away as their costs and losses piled up. And this has happened amid price wars against its Lyft rival here in the US and then many international rivals as well. So the firm lost $1.2 billion in Q3, and this is after it posted a $5.2 billion loss in Q2. A lot of those costs are on not a one-off basis. A lot of those costs were related to some going public expenses, but the drivers still are paid a lot of money for every ride. Their expansion into these crowded markets has not been cheap, and its food delivery business, Uber Eats, has also eaten into a ton of their profits. But with that said, starting in the third quarter, it seemed to be a little bit of a change of direction for the company, and maybe a potential turning point if you look back in the history of Uber, certainly early on. So its CEO, Dara Khosrowshahi, and I believe I'm pronouncing that right, who took over from Travis Kalanick, who was the founder in the lead up to Uber's IPO. He started to assure Wall Street that the company would begin to focus much more heavily on profits. Uber executives announced at the time that they expected to report an adjusted profit by fiscal 2021, and the stock was up 40% heading into its Q4 report over the last 3 months based on that more positive profitability outline. So to cut costs, Uber has laid off employees. They've laid off about 1,000 employees since then. They recently sold their delivery business in India, and they've done a little bit more to cut costs as well. So this brings us up to their Q4 report. They still reported a Q4 loss, and their losses came in higher than they did the year before. So they reported a $1.1 billion loss. But the company's stock has climbed since then because Uber executives have shrunk their profitability timeline. So the firm now sees the company being profitable on an adjusted basis before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization by the end of the year, not 2021. So they upped it by a year. And this is a quote from Uber CEO: "We recognize that the era of growth at all costs is over. In a world where investors increasingly demand not just growth, but profitable growth, we are well positioned to win through continuous innovation, excellent execution, and an unrivaled scale of our global platform." So that was Uber's CEO in prepared remarks last week. So this goal to become more profitable has turned some of the focus for investors in Wall Street to Uber Eats, which is a big money loser at this point. Uber Eats, obviously their growth remains impressive for the company that's quickly expanding their food delivery business, which is essentially sort of it's the same thing. Uber Eats connects through an app. A driver picks up your food, delivers it to wherever you are. So their gross bookings for Uber Eats was up 71% year over year to about $4.4 billion in the fourth quarter. But Uber Eats is also heavily weighing on the bottom line, with its adjusted loss up 66% to $461 million last quarter alone. So obviously a lot of this is coming as it faces a ton of competition from venture-backed startups like DoorDash and Postmates, who aren't necessarily facing as many profit pressures as Uber is, but they could go public eventually, and maybe those profit pressures come to DoorDash and Postmates. So with that said, Uber has pulled out of its food delivery business in South Korea in September. And as we mentioned, it sold its struggling Indian food delivery business last month. And JP Morgan noted that together, those two businesses accounted for more than a quarter of its adjusted EBITDA losses for Uber Eats last year. So getting out of those two businesses could help really improve the company's profitability outlook. And Uber also said that it would start to exit markets where the company isn't currently number one or number two in the food delivery space. So they're trying to cut back those big losses, as we mentioned. So now we're going to quickly just look at a little bit of the overall fiscal 2019 performance and then look ahead to what to expect going forward. So in 2019, Uber's trips were up 32% to about 7 billion. And then their gross bookings were up 31%, and GAAP revenue was up 26% and 28% on a constant currency basis. So about 28% revenue growth to about $14.2 billion. So some solid top line growth, and then they had an adjusted EBITDA loss of $2.72 billion, down 48% from the year before that. So now looking ahead in fiscal 2020, our Zacks estimates are calling for Uber revenue to grow about 32.3% up to, I'm going to zoom in on this number a little bit, up to $18.71 billion is what our estimates are calling for. So that would actually come in higher than last year's growth. And then if we look ahead to 2021, we're calling for another 26% growth up to $23.6 billion. And then on the bottom line, we're calling for the company's adjusted loss to shrink. So this past year, the one they just reported, they reported an adjusted loss of $6.81 per share. We're expecting that to shrink to $2.36 per share this year in fiscal 2020. And then we're expecting that to shrink all the way to $1.59 per share loss in 2021. So we should also note that their earnings estimate revisions have trended heavily in the right direction since they reported their Q4 results last Thursday. And overall, just to give people a sense of that growth, we're seeing some big top line growth up from $14 billion in 2019 to about $23.5 billion in 2020. And once again, we should note that because a lot of people were worried about a slowdown in top line growth, that their growth is actually expected to be higher in 2020 than it was last year at 33.3% versus about 28% in 2019. So stronger growth is expected on the top line this year than even last year. And now we're going to go ahead and take a look kind of at the future of Uber to give people a better sense of maybe if they want to take a look at possibly buying some Uber stock. Obviously, some people haven't heard about this. It's not maybe as big of a story as you'd expect for how much hype Uber had going into its public trading. But they face regulatory worries, which includes California, which accounts for about 9% of Uber's gross bookings. And this is the so-called gig economy law that may require Uber to reclassify its drivers as employees. And this would certainly change Uber's compensation model and raise their costs significantly, which would be a huge detriment to the company and therefore shareholders as well. So Uber, to fight this, has recently rolled out some changes to show that its drivers are free of its control. Last month, they began testing a feature that allows its drivers in California to set fares as high as 5 times Uber's suggested price for that ride. It also separately capped commissions on rides across the state and allowed drivers to see where riders were going, which is not something that they normally are allowed to do. So they can perhaps be more choosy in who they are picking up, depending on how far the ride is going to be or where they are going. And we should note that Uber's CEO sees that as a net positive for the drivers, these changes they've made or slowly tried to make in California, but it would be a net negative for riders, obviously. And we should note, though, they're trying to fight this. Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, Postmates have raised more than $110 million for a planned ballot initiative this year, which is asking voters to exempt them from this law that was passed in California. There's also some issues going on in London, which contributes to about 5% of Uber's ride bookings. The company was stripped of its license to operate in November, and it's appealing that decision. And then on the favorable front, Uber won a ruling in a Brazilian court that ruled that Uber drivers weren't the company's employees, and Uber is also a big part of, or Brazil is a big part of Uber's business as well. So that's a positive sign for Uber going forward. And despite some of these larger worries, Uber stock does appear to be headed in the right direction. Their shares soared Thursday, once again Friday. Friday, they closed up about 9.5% for the day to $4.63 per share. They were up this morning about 1% Monday morning. They still sit well off their 52-week highs, which could give them more room to run going forward. And overall, Uber's long-term plan and long-term pitch to Wall Street and investors is that they are kind of a bet on the future of transportation. The company wants to be seen sort of as the Uber of everything for transportation. It already has a freight business, and it kind of pictures a world where there's a driverless automotive future, and they pick people up in autonomous vehicles, cutting out the costs of drivers, and they shuttle goods around. So it's a bet on the future of a driverless sort of autonomous vehicle world. They have an other bets unit already, and they kind of dove into it in its earnings call. It's completed $1 billion in funding, and this also includes its advanced technologies group, which they refer to as ATG, throughout their earnings call and on their earnings release. So they said that they are, and this is now a quote, they are expanding their mapping and data collection efforts in 5 cities and continue to make progress towards an autonomous future, with plans to expand our on-road testing of cars in autonomous mode with a vehicle operator present in select cities. And then this is continuing to quote, just this week we issued were issued a permit which gives us the ability to resume testing in California in 2020. We'll continue to drive our roadmap for ATG through the hard work of our dedicated employees, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Denver, and Toronto, alongside the support of our investors and partners, such as Toyota and Desno. So it might be worth taking a longer look at Uber, especially amid its current rebound. Uber is currently a Zacks ranked number 2 buy based on its positive earnings revisions. And they also have an A grade for momentum in our style score system. And as I mentioned, the simple reason to take a longer look at Uber and maybe think of it as a worthwhile investment is they're trying to slowly cut down these costs, which had been a big detriment to the stock early on. And it's a bet on the longer term future of where vehicles are going towards this driverless future. If you see that happening, then maybe Uber is a company to bet on or to buy stock of, as a bet on the future of technology. And now we're going to transition, and this is going to be a shorter part of the show. We're going to transition over to see what to expect from its ride-sharing rival Lyft, which is set to report its Q4 2019 financial results on Thursday, February 11th. So like Uber, Lyft has certainly failed to live up to its pre-IPO hype. The ride-sharing firm continues to lose money as well as it competes fiercely with Uber. So sort of the same problems as Lyft, just on a smaller scale. So despite the negativity, though, Lyft stock is up 10% in the last month. It climbed 5% Friday on the back of that Uber positivity. And now we're just going to take a quick overview of Lyft. Lyft, as we mentioned, is expanding. It's having to do the same sort of price wars against Uber to attract drivers, and this has caused a detriment to its bottom line. And they obviously face that increased regulatory pushback in places like California as well. Unlike Uber, however, Lyft isn't in the food delivery business, and it's focused more on North America than rapid international expansion. So therefore, it's much smaller than Uber. Uber has a market cap of about $70 billion right now, and Lyft's market cap is about $15 billion. So a much smaller company, even though they're often talked about in the same breath. So Lyft's third quarter 2019 revenues were up 63% to $955 million. And perhaps more importantly, its active riders were up about 28% to 22.3 million. And obviously, its bottom line didn't go that same way. So they posted a net loss of $463 million in the third quarter, which came in far worse than the year ago period's loss. But like Uber, executives remain confident in the company's long-term growth and their ability to report profits. So the big news from Lyft in Q3 was that they trimmed their profitability timeline, similar to Uber as well. So they noted that, importantly, we now expect to be profitable on an adjusted EBITDA basis in the fourth quarter of 2021. And this was based on CEO Logan Green's prepared remarks at the time. So they're expecting to be profitable on an adjusted EBITDA basis in the fourth quarter of 2021. Uber just shrunk their timeline, trimmed their timeline for that, which was a big reason why the stock is up huge since then. So we could maybe see Lyft doing a similar thing where they're trying to cut cost to compete with what Uber's doing. And definitely pay attention, if you're interested at all in Lyft, on what their new timetable for profitability is and anything that executives have to say. So now what to expect in the fourth quarter? Executives expect their fourth quarter sales to climb about 47% to as high as $985 million. Our current Zacks estimate sits at about $984.5 million. So right there at the top end of their guidance. But this growth, we should note, would mark a fall from Q3's 63% top line growth. So a bit of a slowdown there as well. So then if we look ahead to the whole year, Lyft updated its full year 2019 revenue guidance to $3.58 billion. And this is up from its previous range of between $3.47 and $3.5 billion. And then if we look ahead to 2020, our estimates are calling for Lyft sales to climb about 28% higher to $4.6 billion. And this would, though, once again, mark a slowdown from what is expected to be 61% growth this year. So Lyft's expecting to grow 61% in 2019, but then if we look ahead to 2020, we're calling for just 28% top line growth. So a much bigger drop off, especially when you look at Uber, that its revenues are actually expected to climb at a higher pace this year, even though it didn't grow at 61% like Lyft is expected to. And then on the bottom line, the company is expected to post an adjusted loss of between $708 million and $718 million in 2019. And this would mark a significant improvement from their previous guidance. And then if we look on a per share basis, and this is based on our Zacks estimates, we're calling for the company to post an adjusted loss of $3.41 per share this year. And then we're expecting that loss to shrink to $2 in 2020. And just like Uber, the company has seen its longer-term earnings revisions trend in the right direction. This helps Lyft, like Uber, earn a Zacks rank number 2 buy at the moment. It also has an A grade for growth and a B for momentum. And as we mentioned at the outset, Lyft is headed in the right direction in terms of their stock price. They're up 10% over the last month, and Lyft stock was also up 6.5% in early morning trading on Monday to around $53 per share. And this is also still miles below where they were trading at very early on in their public days. So they were trading at about $80 per share early on. So they have plenty of room to climb to reach even those early public days. And this, they went public about a month before Uber, and they went public in late March of 2019. So they've been public about a month and a half longer than Uber. And the long-term play for Lyft is it's just a kind of a smaller, scaled back version of Uber. They also kind of envision a world where autonomous vehicles are shuttling people around, people drive less cars. So both Uber and Lyft are a bet on a driverless vehicle future in an autonomous world. And if you see that, then maybe it's worth taking a chance on these stocks that certainly had been beaten down in the early days as public companies and are both at the moment trending in the right direction. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Rains. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.